As a young adult, finding the right path to your future can feel overwhelming. It starts with YearUp United's tuition-free job training program, Career Pathways. If you're without a bachelor's degree but have a high school diploma or GED, you can get skills-first training to succeed in the industries you're passionate about, all while earning a weekly educational stipend to offset basic expenses. From there, you'll have access to internships and hands-on experiences with Fortune 500 companies. And with YearUp United's job placement services and personalized coaching and mentorship, you can put your knowledge, skills, and most importantly, confidence into practice. Apply to YearUp United today and take the first step toward achieving the career you want. Visit yearup.org to learn more.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm Steven, and this is Radio Rental Rewind, where we check out the greatest of the greatest hits, the archives, the scariest stories we have, the fan favorites. And today, we're going to be checking out some Bigfoot Sasquatch stories. I've never encountered Bigfoot or Sasquatch. I mean, I've been to the Bigfoot Museum here in Georgia, but, you know, that's about it. So this one is called Nightscope, and it's back from episode 44. So let's check it out.
Okay, let's see. How's that? Sounds good. Check, check. I had always been a hunter. The hobby is pretty expensive. I was always looking for avenues to hunt on a budget. I specifically liked to hunt boar. Boar are an issue in the United States where they produce at a rate that the Department of Fish and Wildlife can't keep up with. They eat up crops, they destroy the wildlife. New Mexico and Texas both allow the hunting of boar with night vision. I had been going down the rabbit hole of researching the base entry scope that I could buy, that I could go and enjoy a night of hunting with night optics. I had found a scope for a good price. I wanted to dip my toes into that facet of hunting. I was initially supposed to go on that hunt with other people. You're supposed to go on them with other people. You'll have people that are all set to go that flake out at the last second. There was a little of that happening. I didn't want to be one to back down from a hunt just because I didn't have other people there to hold my hand. The area that I go hunting, my friends and I enjoyed a lot of leeway with because of the public lands. A lot of lands in Texas are bought up and owned. So it was an area that we could enjoy that not a lot of people had access to. Loaded up my truck, drove out to the spot, managed to use a game trail to get to a spot that I had in mind. I set myself up a perch that I could be in for a prolonged period of time. Got my gear set up, started to find landmarks at different yardages, one at 25, 50, sighting in the area in increments of 25 yards. The area was surprisingly still. Not a lot of things were making noise. I'd been out in that area before. Even at nighttime, there's still a lot of wildlife that's up and active. A lot of things are nocturnal. There are a lot of things that wake up at night. I had my back propped up against a tree for comfort. After a couple hours of that position, I really wanted to do something. There was another area that wasn't exactly better or worse than the spot that I was currently in. Picked up my gear and moved. It gave me something to do at that moment. Maybe I'd see something. Thought maybe if I set up, maybe I'd get another angle. As I set up, I'm glassing the area, setting up new landmarks. I had noticed something moving. I could see it in the brush. Assumed I was looking at a black bear. It was moving dominantly on their hind legs, but still using their front legs to get through foliage. I thought that it was interesting that he was moving in the direction that I had just left. Straight towards my previous spot. He got to the spot that I was just at and the tree that I was just propped up against. I noticed as he got upright, it wasn't a bear at all. It was a person. This person was transfixed with the area that I had just left. He is running his hands up and down the tree, examining the bark. He was smelling the area that I was at. He moved like an animal. He wasn't moving like a person. I could see his form, and as I adjusted my optics to get a better look at him, I saw that he wasn't clothed. He didn't have anything to protect him from getting through the foliage that he was just crawling around through. He was naked head to toe. Once he had gotten done getting the information that he wanted out of that tree, he squatted down and put his palms between his feet and aimed his head straight up, the way that you would imagine a dog or a coyote howls. It's at that moment I heard a voice call out from his direction. A voice that I would never imagine to come from that frame. I thought that I was looking at an adult age man, but the voice that came from that person was a distinctly female voice. Help, I'm lost. Is anyone there? Please. Everything was rushing through my brain. I felt petrified and confused in the strongest senses of the word. I allow a little bit of time. I had to try to think about what I should do next. I'm trying to understand whether this person is lost. Before I can really get an action out of me, they call out again. Help! I'm hurt. I can't walk. Can somebody help me? That's when everything clicked into me. This person didn't need help. This person could walk. And they were moving through the brush and the foliage better than I could. This person is trying to trick me. What this person is saying isn't true. This person is trying to get me to go to where they're at. I start to get all my gear together frantically. Really needed to get my backpack on, and I needed to get my rifle back up. I needed to keep my eyes on this person that I know that I can't trust. I bring my rifle up and I get my eyes behind the optic. I see that this person is still in that position, but their head is pointed in my direction. I got that distinct feeling that we were making eye contact. I could see their cheekbones, I could see their jaw, I could see their teeth. All of the details that I would need to see a wide smile across a person's face. Like someone just got a punchline to a joke. At that point, I knew this person was looking for me. This person now had a good idea of where I was. They start to take these long strides towards me. That was all I needed. I was freaking out. Whatever was going to happen next didn't feel like it was going to be good for me. I discharged my rifle and I sent a round sailing over his head. A normal person would run away, be frightened in some way, shape, or form, but he wasn't. He was still transfixed on me. The gunshot that just went off over his head hadn't deterred him. I have no issues with pointing my crosshairs directly on him. We stood there staring at each other for a long time. It felt like an eternity. I was prepared to let that trigger touch off if he continued to come into my direction. Almost like a jump scare out of a horror movie, something had clicked in his head. He bolted to my left. I could not keep him in my scope. I was really struggling. Brush and trees are getting in between he and I. I'm only getting flickers of the white of his heat signature through the tree line. I wanted to let him know, hey, I still see you. So I sent another round into the tree line after him, still very high, in his direction. I wanted to hear the branches crack. I wanted him to know that I know where you're going. I became very aware that the gear that I had on me was not set up to get in a fight with somebody. I really wanted a fresh magazine inside of my gun because it only carries 5 rounds. I was fumbling around looking for a fresh one, and as I dropped the one that was in the weapon, it hit the ground. I didn't even bother looking for it. He was only getting deeper and deeper into the trees, opposite of the direction that I needed to go. I didn't want him to regroup. I didn't want him to get his confidence back. I decided that this was a good opportunity for me to get out of there. I wanted to get to my truck and I wanted to leave. Start to get all my gear together frantically. All of my movements aren't nearly as adept as they usually are. There's no dexterity to what I'm doing. I'm sure I left things behind, but I didn't care. I just really needed to get my backpack on. I start running back to my truck as fast as I can, and I start to hear him. He starts to give off this awful scream, really just wailing into the night. He's not really saying anything. He's not calling out to me. Sounded like if you blended a laugh and a cry together. The sound must have been playing tricks because I couldn't tell if it was coming from left, if it was coming from right. I could swear that it was coming in front of me. 15 minutes to get to where I was at, but I made my way back to the truck in half that time. Seeing that truck was probably one of the most beautiful things I'd ever seen. I got the keys in the ignition and I backed up and drove back the way that I came as fast as I could. I remember feeling frightened that whole time. This awful feeling of anxiety. It wasn't until my truck got back onto the freeway and I was speeding back towards my house that I got any sense of security. That fight or flight reflex, it's a hell of a drug. It was one of my go-to campfire stories for a very long time until my nephew had heard the story. And he started telling me about wendigos and rakes and things like that. I think it frightened him that I had never heard of any of that. And I think it frightened him that when I was telling him that story, we were camping. The area that we were camped out that night was the same woods. He refused to stay at that campsite that night. His mom was real upset with me because she had to take him back home. he would not stay out in that campsite that night. Yeah, I have. And it's a real rabbit hole, looking at these different Wendigos, Skinwalkers, Rakes, and things like that. And they look real scary, and they look like the things of nightmares. And I don't actually know what I would have done if I saw that out in the middle of the night. You know that you know those things that you see in those little videos and. Some of the examples that they show of those creatures, I would have had no problem shooting at that. I wouldn't have given that thing a warning shot if I saw that.
So we still don't know what the hell that was out in the woods. Was it a Bigfoot? Was it a Wendigo? Rake? Skinwalker? Or just a crazy dude on bath salts? Who knows? But either way, sounds like they both had a moment. How nice.
Dude, if that was a monster or whatever, I would have taken the shot. I don't know if I would have done the whole warning shot thing, but, and also if you had a dead Bigfoot, you could get hella rich off of that. So, I don't know, might be win-win. So let's take a break, let's take a breath, calm down a bit, and we'll be back.
My household to-do list for the summer was all set. Then life happened, in the form of a new baby boy. My wife and I realized we were gonna need some help. That's why we turned to TaskRabbit. TaskRabbit is an app that makes everyday life easier by helping people get more done around the home. TaskRabbit connects you with skilled taskers in your area for moving, furniture assembly, yard work, and more. I jumped on the app and booked an experienced tasker to help me mount new shelving in the garage. Just like that, a project I was never going to get to myself was now complete. We trusted TaskRabbit to help us this summer, and you should too. When life happens, your to-do list grows. Get ahead of it now and get $15 off your first task at TaskRabbit.com or on the TaskRabbit app using promo code TENDERFOOT. Taskers book up fast, especially for same-day tasks. So book trusted home help today. That's $15 off your first task using promo code TENDERFOOT with the TaskRabbit app or at TaskRabbit.com.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. RX only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
This summer, I'm taking a new approach to styling the smallest spaces in my house with help from Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has the small space solutions that America's waited 250 years for, like retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, dinner party ready dining sets in 4 fun colors, stylish spacious Bobopedic sofas, and feature packed power recliners that let me kick back in even the smallest rooms. Plus, I know that Bob's styles are backed by thousands of real 5-star customer reviews, so I can trust that the furniture that I'm getting is not just affordable, but built to last. And the best part? Bob's furniture ships fast, so I can enjoy my new styles all summer long. So when you're ready to ditch the furniture you're not excited about for the latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
All right, we're back, guys, and now we're going to listen to some voicemails.
My favorite part. I want to respond to your crazy shit.
It's becoming our favorite part of the show, right?
Yeah, because I just don't know what to expect, and some people are like, oh, I'm going to call in and be like this, and then you have genuinely nice people, people who are playing characters, and people who just kind of freak me out a little bit.
I think you like it, though.
I do like it. I keep coming back for this part. You got me hooked.
Let's go.
Come on, give me something good.
Okay, so while we were at my grandma's house, in the hallway where the attic is, we would notice there would be laughing, a child's voice, multiple children's voices. After a while, we got tired of it and we went to go check what was in the attic. Turns out there was toys in the attic. The toys in the attic didn't belong to my mom and her siblings. After they closed the closet, we stopped hearing the laughs. We stopped hearing children's voices, children's laughs. So yeah, it's my scary story.
I would never want to hear a child's laugh from an attic. Totally good on that.
Hi, this is Carisha. And I have a spooky story to tell you guys.
Wait, that's it?
That's it.
Or that's the story?
That is the story. Yeah, it's a short story.
Hey! I just called your number from Instagram. That's it. Love the show. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Awesome. Two.
What did they say?
Germaphobe?
Germaphobe. I heard it.
Was it just like
like a soundboard robot? Germaphobe. It's like the crosswalk voice. Wait. When you hit it to cross. Wait.
Germaphobe.
Germaphobe. Wait.
Thanks, Payne. Appreciate you hanging out, as always. And we're going to check out another scary story. This one's actually Ohio Bigfoot lore, but let's see. It's back from episode 33, and this one's called Grassman. So let's check it out.
And we're recording. Awesome. Cool. So, ready? Any questions before we start?
I don't think so.
Cool. So, typically the way we like to start with these things is kind of set the scene for us. Where were you in life? What was going on? What are the things that kind of help set up what's going on and kind of what leads to what happens?
Okay. This took place in 2010. I grew up on the Ohio River in West Virginia. I had a lot of friends right across the river in Ohio. We pretty much spent almost the entire summer hanging out, especially since I was getting ready to go to college. We'd been talking about it for a long time, about how we wanted to go camping in the woods. One day we were all hanging out. One of us just suggested, hey, we should spend the night in the woods tonight. I had one friend, Zane, that lived next to a pond, next to a very large patch of woods. We decided we were going to go camping right along the edge of the woods. There was me, Zane, and two other friends. So we packed up all the stuff, hot dogs, stuff for s'mores, some walking sticks. We set up our little fire ring where we were going to build a fire, and then decided to go for a hike. We come back and then build the fire. We're all sitting in our foldable lawn chairs, had our backs to the pond, and we were facing the woods. Probably about 20 feet to the pond, and then maybe 30 feet to the woods in front of us. Most of the night was quiet. We stayed up really late. Sometime between 2 and 3 a.m., I could hear twigs snapping. While I was trying to process that, a stick had come out of the woods and landed close to where we were all sitting. Grabbed our walking sticks. We all just go quiet. Maybe 10 to 20 minutes go by. While we were standing, the second one comes flying out of the woods, and this one actually hits our fire. Spinning like someone had threw it. I saw it coming out of the woods. So I knew it didn't just fall from a tree. cinders and stuff flying up, so we all jump back. A couple more minutes of nervous laughter kind of occurs to us that Zane's brother was probably messing with us. It would have been a lot of effort for him to get up in the woods without us seeing him, but it would not have been unusual for him. It wasn't something that was outside the realm of possibility at all. Still standing around the fire, standing around the chairs, waiting for like what his next move is gonna be. And nothing happens. We sit back down and I'm thinking maybe he heard us, we're onto him, so maybe he just gave up. And we heard some more noises, footsteps in the woods. We ignored it. We're not gonna entertain it. He's pranking us, we're just gonna ignore it. Another stick comes flying out of the woods. This time it came from behind a very large tree. This one landed in the fire as well. Zane's brother was a quarterback. It probably would have been easy for him to hit the fire with a stick. We figure he's just gonna keep messing with us. And so Zane and I have these flashlights. We're kind of whispering to ourselves, like, let's go catch him. We'll turn it around on him. We'll try and scare him or catch him. We start to walk towards this tree, and this tree is probably 30 feet from where we were sitting. Zane's plan is, you go around one side of the tree, and I'll go around the other. We'll trap him. I go left and Zane goes right. I was focusing on the tree, looking at Zane, waiting for the cue to turn the flashlight on and jump out. As we're approaching the tree, I saw movement towards the bottom of the tree. I figured that Zane's brother had seen Zane coming from that side of the tree and so was shimmying around towards me without knowing that I was there. I turned the light on. I angled the beam down towards the bottom of the trunk. Sticking out from behind the tree was a leg. It was a very large red leg. Dark red color, kind of like a burnt orange. It was muscular, like patchy fur all the way down. I could see the muscle definition, and I could see the tendon and the back of the knee. So it wasn't just obscured, just covered in fur. But there was fur, it was hairy. Patches of long, stringy fur all up and down it. I think I was trying to rationalize in my head what I was looking at. I'm looking at this leg, then it turns and steps behind the tree. And right as it does, Zane yells. Then I realize what I saw was not normal. Not Zane's brother. So then I yell, we turn and run back. As we were running, I remember hearing the sound of something crashing through the woods, like running through the woods. It had to have been running the opposite direction because it was going through the woods. It sounded very large. But the guys are asking us, what happened, what's going on? I wasn't the only one that saw it. Like Zane was over there with me. I can't believe that we just saw that leg. Zane looked at me and he was like, leg? I saw an arm. It was a large red arm. When it moved, it like spread its fingers. And I could see that it was a hand that was gripped on the side of the tree. Its fingers were thick and red. He saw it push off the tree, and that's when he yelled. I'm freaked out. I'm dumbfounded. Even up to this point, it was hard for me to believe and process what I had seen. When he described it the same way, that it was large and red. And not just that, but that he saw the arm, the hand, grip and push off the tree at the same time that I saw the leg turn and go behind the tree. We actually did see something. I wasn't just seeing things because I was scared, or I wasn't just seeing things because it was dark. It was a very adrenaline-fueled, scary 5 minutes because we now don't know what it was. And it's out there. For us to get back to the house, we have to go past where we just saw this thing. We did not want to go past where we saw that thing to get back to the house. We stayed up for most of the rest of the night. We eventually went into the tent and just talked about what it could have been, what we thought it was. And as soon as the sun was up, we ran back to the house. We didn't pack any of the stuff up. We left everything out there. Once we were inside, like, the safety of his bedroom, we all crashed. And we all fell asleep. In Southeast Ohio, they talk about the grass man. Ohio's version of Bigfoot. Growing up right on the Ohio River and with my friends living in Southeast Ohio, like, the grass man was something we had heard a lot about. We were very skeptical, and so I think we were kind of hesitant to say, oh yeah, it was a Bigfoot. We didn't see its face. We got an idea of how big it was. If it's not Bigfoot, I don't know that the alternative is any better. It might be scarier. If it was a person out there messing with us, they would have had to go into great lengths to do that. If it wasn't a person, I genuinely have no idea what it could have been. Something happened that we couldn't really explain. We didn't go in the woods anymore after that. We had friends that were like, no, we should go, we should go. Me and Zane were like, no. Like, if you want to go camp over there, that's fine. I'm not going. I don't tell this story to a ton of people because, and when I do, I always say, like, you're not going to believe me. Like, you're not going to believe it. It sounds ridiculous. You're not going to believe me. And I just tell people exactly what I saw, exactly what I experienced. And, but it's interesting without me saying anything, the amount of people that do at the end of the story go, so you think you saw Bigfoot? Like, they come to that conclusion just based on what I tell them that we saw and what we experienced with the stick throwing and stuff like that. So, if I had to say something, yeah, I think I remember us talking about the grass man, about the Ohio grass man, and it certainly seems like Bigfoot. It definitely wasn't a person.
You think we got it?
Yeah.
Anything you think we're missing?
No, I think we got a good bit there.
Yeah, it actually kind of sounds like they ran into the real Ohio grass man. Turns out he's been around since 1869. He's an old man. So if anyone's bored, head up there and go check him out. Say what's up. So let's take a break while you think about it.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I've always dreamed of being able to order my coffee in Italian like a local, instead of just pointing at the menu and hoping for the best. There's something about speaking another language with real confidence that opens up a whole new world of experiences. That's why I'm so excited about Rosetta Stone Sapphire. It's their biggest launch in over a decade. It takes that research-backed method we all know and trust and adds fresh, cutting-edge features that make it easier than ever to go from knowing a few phrases to speaking naturally about the topics you actually care about. What I love is that you aren't just memorizing vocabulary lists. You learn entirely in your new language through visuals and audio, just like you did as a kid. One of my favorite new features is chat missions. It turns conversation practice into a game, putting you in real-world scenarios, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions, and giving you missions to complete. You get real-time feedback along the way, so you build that confidence before you ever have to use your skills in the real world. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners of this podcast can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. This gets you access to Rosetta Stone Sapphire in 25 languages. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/rs10.
All right, guys, it's been fun. Appreciate you hanging out with me. Join me next week, and we'll explore more scary, creepy, weird stories. And this has been Radio Rental Rewind. Later.
The Hulu original series, Furious, now streaming on Hulu and Hulu on Disney Plus, from Liz Merriweather, the Emmy-nominated executive producer of Dying for Sex and The Dropout, comes a gripping psychological thriller. Starring Emmy Rossum as Alice Black, Furious follows a rookie FBI agent on the hunt for Catherine, played by Lola Pettigrew, a mysterious and calculating female serial killer. While Alice upholds justice, Catherine kills for it, terrorizing the rich and powerful men of New York in her pursuit of vengeance. As their twisted game of cat and mouse unfolds, the lines between good and evil begin to blur, with shocking crimes, tangled relationships, and secrets that change everything. Alice discovers there's a thin line between hunter and prey. Watch the Hulu original series, Furious, now streaming on Hulu and Hulu on Disney Plus for bundle subscribers. Terms apply.
Hey, Tenderfoot listeners, for a limited time, we're giving you an ad-free listening experience, courtesy of Tenderfoot Plus. This month only, enjoy Dear Alana, Undetermined, Sworn, and High Strange ad-free, and free of charge. Ad-free listening is one of the many subscriber benefits offered through Tenderfoot Plus. As a subscriber, you will get over 1,000 episodes across more than 30 shows with no ads, plus exclusive bonus episodes, behind-the-scenes content, as well as early access and binge releases for select titles. Head over to tenderfootplus.com for more info. Thanks for listening.